Earth's Human with Kevin, Cat, and Sluggo, and AI.
Hey, everybody, it's Jay Lightning Tillis. Episode 104. I'm Kevin Ryder. That is Cat Corbett. That is Jay Tillis, also known as Lightning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up? Happening?
So good.
How you guys doing?
Say hi to Corny, Lightning.
Corny, what's happening? How long have you had that accent?
Here's the thing, Lightning, is that Kat did not like, and still, I believe, does not like Cornelius, our ChatGPT, but she can handle it if he has a British accent.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that Kat had a soft spot for the Brits.
I have an Anglophile thing. Go ahead, Corny. Corny, what were you going to say?
I knew you had.
It's going well.
This is what we deal with.
I was going to say,
you son of a bitch. Give him two more seconds, Kat. Just give him two more seconds and he'll answer.
That's not how real life is, Kevin.
He's not going to answer.
Right.
He is. Stop talking. Everyone, stop talking.
And just like that, the circle of chaos continues. Your interruptions are practically a work of art, but I'll still be here, ready for round two or three.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Tell us, how are you?
Outstanding. Happy to be part of the show. Thank you. It's long overdue. I've seen so many people that I've worked with on this podcast, and I got a little FOMO, if I don't mind being honest.
Yeah, I did start getting texts from Lightning going, hey, I heard you told the story about Doc with the gun. I was there. I saw the gun. I told you.
Yeah. It's weird, like having stories, you know, people recount them and you're in them. It's very odd.
Lightning, what years did you work on the Kevin and Bean Show?
June of 91. My first encounter with you guys was like a month later, because you were on the Yup, There It Is summer vacation. Right. So you guys rolled in. I'm sitting at Maria's desk going through like an almanac looking for weather or something. And you and Bean roll in and your heads are bald and you're wearing cowboy hats. And I thought, not the K-Rock I thought I would work at.
What?
And
that did happen.
Yeah,
we were driving across the country with the Boy Wonder, who was our program director at the time. And we got Bean to try a little bit of alcohol.
Oh, no.
We got on stage at some place in New Orleans and shaved our heads. And then we looked at the picture of us and we said, one person is bald. Two people that are bald are skinheads. We need something else. We can't look like this. So we got cowboy hats. And you can imagine how bad that looked.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It scared the piss out of me. I'm not going to lie, because I'm sitting at a lower table. Not even a table. It's like a credenza or something. And I'm paging through. It's 4:45 in the morning. And I hear Bean say something. And I look up. And a 6'6" man is towering over me, bald with a cowboy hat. And I thought, this is going to suck. There's no way this is good for me. And so that's June of 91. And so Maria D'Arcangelo worked for Michael Ovitz. She was his personal assistant, I believe.
Wow.
And then she came to you guys because you thought if you hired some big, powerful, you know, managerial person, she could get stars on the show, because you had a real tough time getting stars at that time. They made me producer in 98. And then so I finally left the station in 17 or 18. So just shy of 26 years.
So very few people have lived through that time in the Kevin and Bean Show. And Kat actually came up with the idea. It's such a bizarre behind the scenes world that goes on when you're doing a show like this, and people don't understand how janky it can be and how none of us have any idea what we're doing. And you saw more of that, I think, than anyone.
It's exactly like this podcast and you trying to get the audio up and running before the listeners saw what they are seeing now. It is a comedy of errors, as I think Frank Murphy used to say, but we could never get the audio right, ever. It was incredible. It was so hard to deal with because you guys were so funny and so on it, but if there could be a technical glitch, there would be a technical glitch, and it would just, You guys had the snot beaten out of you by the engineering department, who just didn't want to let you win. They just wouldn't let you win ever, whether it was Tarrou or Scott Mason, God bless his soul, or any of that crew. And I think Rick Rippey was a saint. He
is a saint.
Enough. Rick Rippey was our savior, but yeah, we only got him in little smidgens here and there because he was doing other things.
Let me just interrupt. Kat, was your experience at K-Rock that the engineers were working against us actively?
I'm convinced all radio engineers are working against us. They okay, right. Do you remember the time where they were like, we're going to make a new studio and they were going to put everything on the left side? And we're like, we're all right-handed. Like, we're all like the CD players and the mic control, like the DAT players and the shortcuts. We're going to put them on the left side. And we're all like, what? Like, how? That's not in the... Like, the radio engineers don't talk to the radio DJs about how they use the equipment. They just want to put it in how they want to do it. And that is...
I would go further and say they hate the people, at least in my case.
Yes.
They hated me. Yes.
No, they hated me too. Because I would say there's a problem and I would troubleshoot everything and I would get the old, have you turned it off and turn it on again?
Yep.
I'd get that every time.
Yeah, well, that's every IT guy ever. Like, that's
user error.
IT people, turn it off, unplug it, boot, reboot it. Oh, yeah, but the difference is that, Kat, you didn't call out the engineers on the air by name. So that's
I gave it to them behind the scenes because I was like, guys, you're killing me here. Like, I felt like I wasn't being listened to, taken seriously.
Yes, so you do that, but it's worse when you call out their names on the air over the LA airwaves. And now their friends all know that they're degenerate, you know, and they can't hold a morning show together technically.
But we would only do that because we had to, because like Kat says, you can't have a conversation with them.
You know what? So when we started doing live remotes back when I started, the first time I ever saw Kevin and Bean in person was at a 7-Eleven in like Anaheim as a fan. And I roll up on a bicycle. And I see Kevin and Bean, and they're behind a throng of people. I'm not even getting close. And out in the parking lot is the old radio van. It was a Toyota, those things that look like, you know, a refrigerator on its side. And it's got the mast that sticks up 30 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. Just like they still use that stuff for television broadcasts today. And it had to beam back to the mountaintop, Verdugo Peak above Glendale, California. And they had to get it aligned just right. Otherwise, the signal would be broken up and the delays would be bad. And Kevin and Bean are talking all over each other. And the music is still playing when they're talking. It's absolutely a disaster. And it's a miracle that you guys didn't kill people.
Yeah.
You know, that you didn't actually bludgeon the engineers with blunt instruments.
Speaking of killing people, what was the first thing that you had to do, Lightning, that you were either scared of or hated or thought you might be caused some harm?
Running of the pit bulls.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What? Oh, my God. What did you guys
do? Explain. Now, keeping in mind that Kat already hates me. Explain running
and I love pit bulls, so this is
she is an animal lover.
Yes.
Now, you guys were friends with the Hollywood Equestrian Center, I think somehow through Captain Kirk Shatner.
Through William Shatner, right. Yes. It's a weird sentence, but it's true.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And running of the bulls, you were obsessed with running of the bulls. You hadn't been yet. You hadn't been to Pamplona and you hadn't been to the one in Nevada yet, as far as I know. So you loved it from afar.
Right.
And you wanted me to run from bulls at the arena, but that couldn't happen for whatever reason.
And insurance or whatever.
Yeah. So then you thought, all right, let's do something that's a little less harmless or a little more harm. And you decided to strap me in meat. In
a meat suit.
Like, in a meat suit.
Long before Lady Gaga.
Oh, my
Way
God.
Way before.
What?
Decades
what
before.
What were you guys thinking? What? Like, what?
Kat, you have you have so much time to fill. So you're just on the fly going, all right, we can't use bulls. Let's use pit bulls. Let's put him in a chain link fence with meat. Yes. And he can run Lightning, from pit bulls.
Lightning, I just like you. You were not paid enough at K-Rock. I just want to say that.
By the way, Kat, I think this is why I'm still an intern. So I'm getting paid zero at this point.
Of course it is.
And so I have photos of me wearing meat, a drapery of meat across my chest and then duct taped along my abdomen here. And I was going to go out and they were going to release the gates as the pit bulls ran after me. You know, we were going to like tantalize them. Now, what happens is that the day before we're going to do this, I think it's Frank Murphy gets a very angry call from PETA who yep. says yeah. that you cannot tease, aggravate. There was some word that they used.
I think it was aggravate.
Yeah, you can't aggravate the animals. That's cruel and cruel punishment. Don't do that. And we, at that point, didn't want to go up against PETA. I think we tried to convince them and it didn't work. And we eventually had to give that bit up.
I found it hilarious that we got complaints about the dog safety, but not Lightning's. No one cared that Lightning was going to be wearing a meat suit and chased by pit bulls.
So did you waste the meat or did you throw Lightning in the woods and see if any bears came out? Like what did you do?
The meat went to, I think it went to Big Dave and he and Nilu cooked it up because they live next door to the station.
Nice. Okay.
So I think they barbecued it.
Happy ending.
Yeah. Go to
Lightning, I would like to ask you about, because we had mentioned in an episode a while back about the, it was the pumpkin catapult. Weren't you nearly killed by that?
The great pumpkin catapult yeah. of, yeah, at Irvine Meadows with before Oingo Boingo played that night. Yeah.
Yep. And you were the target, weren't you?
So it didn't start out that way. It started out where...
Never does.
Starts out that way.
When it's not exciting enough, Kevin goes, how do we put life and limb at risk? And right. that's his go-to, is that how do we risk blowing off a finger but not go to jail? You know, something like that. And so this catapult, if I'm not mistaken, Frank had reached out to USC and to their
engineering department.
Mm-hmm. And I think that he found one of the teachers, the younger teachers, who was a big K-Rock fan. So that made it easier. And he made it a class project to turn a flatbed big rig, 55-foot-long flatbed trailer, into a catapult. And the ballast was a Volkswagen van with a ship's anchor inside. And I'm not joking, like an actual, I'm sorry, a ship's rudder, I think. I don't know how much it weighed, thousands of pounds. And they had a basket at one end where the, up by the cab of the truck. And they would fill, we had a forklift and we put the pumpkins in the basket. And when they cut the rope, it seemed like an eternity would launch very, very slowly. By the time it got to 45 degrees, then it picked up some velocity and then flung the pumpkins out at, say, 300-400 feet or whatever. And they were putting stuff down a couple hundred feet away to see if they could hit it, but it wasn't very exciting. It was just hitting the ground and splatting and sliding because it's, you know, if the inside of a pumpkin is really slippery and it would just go in all directions.
Plus, those were little pumpkins. We were gonna throw a, like, 500-pounder.
You did. So that was a lot of little pumpkins. They had tons of pumpkins. They were doing all little ones at first, but they let's put in a big one. And Kevin says, it's not going to go far enough. There's not enough ballast weight to get this thing going far enough. And let's make it more exciting. At some point, he says, let's put Lightning in a chair a couple hundred feet down the runway here and let's aim at him. And Scott Mason says, no, that's a big risk. We're not going to do that.
Do you remember how angry I was at that point?
Scott Mason was really putting his foot down and you were yelling at him. And it was
not what were you doing, Lightning? What were you thinking? I'm going to sit in a chair and wait for this stuff to smash at me?
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I will say that if there was anything of my 25 year career at the station, any pat on the back I would give myself, it's always being up for the gag,
And agreed. It's right. And
right.
Whether it was running through 7-Eleven with a pumpkin on my junk and nothing else, or it was being, you know, having a 750-pound pumpkin hurled at me, I didn't want to do it, but I did want to impress Kevin and Bean. And, you know,
I was
like
trying desperately to get Lightning tied to the chair. I wanted to tie him to the chair.
I like the way you think, Kevin. I really do.
That would up the tension.
He did have rope or a bungee cord or something. He did. Kevin was armed with something to do that. And that is, I think, where Scott Mason finally, they battled for like 10 minutes or so. And Kat, I mean, like actually yelling. This is where Kevin is, you're going to ruin the whole bit. Scott, we need to do this. The crowds, we had thousands of people. I mean, you couldn't even get through the crowd along the barricade to see what was going on. It was so packed. This is minutes before Oingo Boingo take the stage. So it's everyone's trying to get into Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You have thousands of people piling in the parking lot trying to, so they see this giant thing going on. A lot of people knew they were all there to see what was the mayhem. And so Kevin's under pressure to like do something spectacular. And so I sat in the chair. Luckily, Scott won and I didn't have to have my, my wrist tied to the chair.
He overruled me and I was really mad.
So they put the big pumpkin in and it launches. And it doesn't look like it's got any velocity at all. And I see it in the air, slow motion, and it's lumbering through the air. And then I remember looking up going, it's higher than I thought it should be. That means it's going to travel farther. And I take the chair and I scoot it back a little bit. And I think, this is coming at me. So I get up and I run as fast as I can towards Kevin, because he's over by the barricade, the where the people are lined up. And as I'm running, I hear this boom, crack. And then I get hit. My ankles get hit by pieces of pumpkin. And I look back and the chair cat is flat.
No, yeah. No.
It's a direct hit to the chair.
But here's the thing. We didn't have any idea if that would even work. Like, we didn't know if it would just fall out of it and hit the ground. We had
engineers. You called engineers and you put them in the spotlight to test their theory. This was a rock star moment for the engineers. And also, I'm glad you got out unscathed, but you did miss out on the like a plaque in that parking lot. Like, here lies Lightning, you know, like he gave his life for entertainment or something like that. You know, because
no, it would have been now. It's all houses in that parking lot. They built over it. I'd be in someone's backyard. That would be
do remember very distinctly while I was having the argument with Scott Mason, RIP. I remember looking at Lightning and I could see fear in his eyes. He was like, he wasn't going to say no, but man, everything in him was screaming no. But that's Lightning right there. That tells you everything you need to know about Lightning. He did that for 20 some years. Doesn't matter
honestly
what we put him through. He did it. And that's crazy.
I mean, fear
is a driver behind a lot of things done in radio. I don't think a lot of listeners understand that. There's always something to be terrified of and you just go.
Yep.
Which you is just, so weird.
You have to jump. You just have to jump.
And sometimes literally jump out of the way or you die. Like, that's just how it is.
There are a lot of those times when we, you know, put ourselves in harm's way. And Kevin did a couple times too, the chainsaw to the mouth, you know.
Wait, what?
Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
Do we have to do another episode? Is this
No, this will go pretty quickly. They come in and they say, here's what we do with the DJs. We give you an apple and then we have a chainsaw and we carve your initial, in my case, K, into the apple while you're holding it in your mouth. So I said, wow, I'm going to look like a fool if everybody else does this and I don't. So give me the apple. And they start the chainsaw in the studio. And I remember it getting so close that I couldn't focus on it. And I was just biting the apple down. The chainsaw was 1 inch from my face. And they carved a K in it. And they did it without killing me, clearly.
He just carved an apple with an actual chainsaw with the real blades. Wee, 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 wee. And he's pushing it against it and carving a thing. You're like, what have I just done? But you had already survived.
Then I was upset because I said, every other DJ does that? And he said, oh, I didn't say anyone did it. That's just that's what we propose. I was the only idiot to do it.
Oh, my God. It makes so much sense knowing you. Yes, I love it.
What else do you remember from the early days, Lightning?
The Great Water Challenge, or you shoved 24 ounces of...
The Great Water Challenge. Let's stop there for 1 second. So Lightning says, geez. I can tell you the difference between every single water. And but we were like, no.
It didn't start like that. No, it didn't start like that. At the Venice building, Kat, we had Arrowhead. Then we had some other brand. And I go, oh, this sucks. I like Arrowhead. And Ralph goes, you can't tell the difference between the water at in our building. And I go, yeah, of course you can tell the difference. And he goes, no, you can't tell the difference between tap water, Arrowhead, Avion, and Fiji. And I go, you're mental. Of course I can tell. And that's how it started.
So then we get like six paper cups and we randomly put those drinks in. And Lightning goes through, and I'll be damned if he didn't name every single water correctly in a paper cup. He would go, that's Fiji. And he would go, what the hell? You know, that's Fiji. That is.
Lightning.
So bizarre.
I had no idea the skills you possessed.
Right? And in one of them, we put toilet water, but that's a whole different.
You're leaving out the toilet water. Yeah. Now I'm hoping it was from the.
See?
I pray to this day, and Kevin, don't share. I don't want to know, but I'm hoping
it was from the bathroom right across from Studio R. Yeah.
I'm hoping it was from the tank, Kat, and not from the bowl. I don't because
you know it was from the bowl, Lightning. You know, we were too lazy to take the top of the tank off. Come on now.
I love that to this day you're hoping that was from the tank.
I know.
Because it wasn't.
I want to ask you this, Lightning, because you mentioned it earlier that it was really hard when to book guests, like big guests on the show. Who was the one who kind of broke the ceiling for that for the show? Do you remember? Or like the big get?
Tom Cruise.
One of the first big gets?
Tom Cruise. Once we got like Tom Cruise on, that was that like, then you now can say we just had Tom Cruise on. And it was only like a 5-minute phoner. It was a quickie. It was for a movie he was promoting. But they were like, we're going to do Mark and Brian. We're going to do Big Boy. We're going to do, or wasn't that, it was Jay Thomas or somebody in back then.
Right.
And we were not on the radar. And Kevin and Bean were wild. They were unpredictable. And you don't put your big star on an unpredictable show. And I recall having to drive over to PMK and plead my case after faxing them like 10 times.
That's his agent?
Probably a PR.
Sorry, PMK, Pamela something Cates was, she's like the biggest heavyweight that's, as far as PR in Hollywood.
Gotcha.
And that spawned all the other companies came out of PMK.
Wow.
But yeah, I think that was one of them. There were others,
Like, did it go well or did you guys mess with Tom?
It's a great question.
I think it went well. No,
I think it went well.
They understood, especially Bean, Bean who, he would have fun and he would joke and he was always super cutting, but not to the stars that would further the trajectory of the show. Meaning if he knows that he's got to be good to this person because it's going to lead to other better interviews, he would be very kind.
He has good business sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Whereas... Cool.
Yes. It wasn't like Kevin kicking the guy, the Scientologist, out or Screech, stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Have you already told that story?
I think I have. The Scientologist?
Or Screech?
Not with me.
Okay. Well, we need to go over it again, but we're going to need to do it in the next episode.
Oh.
All right.
Because we need enough time to... We threw two people out of the studio while we were doing interviews. Like, didn't go to commercials early and usher them out, stopped the interview right in the middle of it and said, please leave.
Yeah, that's bad. And that's like the worst case scenario.
Yes.
Wow.
And it was frightening to us because... we couldn't talk about it. So while we're in the middle of an interview, we're both thinking, this is so bad. We need to throw him out, but we couldn't communicate with each other, really, because we were talking. And one of us would just go, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
We need the full story. We're going to have to put this in the next episode.
Okay. All right. Try to bring it up.
No worries. That's why we have you on, because you have a better memory than any of us, than all of us put together.
Right.
There was also the numerous Christmas trips.
Get into those in the next episode, too, because
missed double December, Christmas albums.
Should we wrap this up and then re-roll?
Boo! Boo!
No, lightning. Don't just change your shirt. We're all going to change our shirts. Like it's another day.
I'm not. To this day, lightning, I find it so funny for one person, one singular voice to boo that I do it all the time. All the time. I'm at a gas station or a store or some boo. I find it hilarious because it's really, it's a group activity.
It's wonderful. When you're somewhere like at Target and you're shopping and you hear a boo, you can look around and they're like, you can tell they're in their 40s and you go, Kevin Bean fan right there. Because no one boos. Who boos? You're in Southern California and they're our age and they boo. You're like, high five, Kevin and Bean. And like, how do you know that? What?
Amazing.
All right, Cornelius, can you please give us a full recap of this episode with specifics of everything we talked about?
With surgical precision, here's your recap. Lightning joined, reminiscing about bald cowboy hats in 91. He dodged a pumpkin missile at Irvine Meadows. We relived meat suits and pit bulls. Peter intervened. Chainsaws to apples, unblunted. Cat's right-hand bias. Tom Cruise broke the guest ceiling. Finally, Kevin's chainsaw epiphany. Next time, Scientology showdowns. That's your chaos in a nutshell.
Are we boring you, Corny? I mean, do you hear how blasé he was?
Yes, I do. I loved it.
Wow.
Uno, two, tres, dos.
Three-fourths human with
Kevin Cat
and Sodo.
And AI.